Today we've got Paul and Chrissy Robinson, our missionaries from Columbia. They were in our Growing Deeper class this morning and just did a great job. Thank you for your Q&A and sharing your heart with us. Crosspoint has been supporting them since 2016. And the last time you guys were here was 2016. So anyhow, they're coming back to give us an update and share with us. And so they're going to bring the word and preach. So, all right.
There you go.
Thank you, Pastor. Well, hallelujah, huh? Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise the Lord. The Spirit of the Lord is here already. Can we say we feel His presence? It's okay to say that, right? I mean, God created us in His image, and He's the emotional person, right? God is emotional, amen? So we can say we are emotional beings. We should get excited about what God has done for us. And I know we have been. When we're singing, I mean, I just, just could feel that, just that love, that presence of His Spirit here, amen? So, anyway, this morning, first I want to give you the ground rules. We got some ground rules here. We are a family, right? Amen. We're a family. So that's the deal. We're a family. And the ground rules are this. If, while I'm sharing, if you want to shout hallelujah, which means what? Praise the Lord. If you want to shout amen or anything that you want to shout, as long as it's praising the Lord, shout it, okay? That's all right. And it's not for me. But it's to glorify the Lord, okay? That's the deal. We're in church. We're a body of Christ. We're a family. So we should be able to shout hallelujah to our Savior. And I know we were singing those songs, and I thought just for a moment about our Savior. Brothers and sisters, we have a Savior. When all things become dark or bleak, there's one thing you can count on and remember is that we have a Savior. Amen? Hallelujah. Well, very quickly, Christy, I know you're kind of getting warm there. Would you just stand up? This is my wife, Christy. And she's my, in our ministry, she handles all of our paperwork, all of those fine detailed things. And I got to tell you, what a great helpmate the Lord has given me. So gentlemen and ladies, you should appreciate who God has given you. Amen? Yeah, pray for them, love them, be kind to them. So anyway, well, I'm looking at the clock, looking at my time, so I want to be considerate of that. As I told the group this morning, Latin people, they tend to kind of go a little long, yeah? But I'm not going to put you through that. I'm just going to share what God has given me to share, and we're going to let the Holy Spirit take care of the rest. Yeah, done deal, right? Is that good? That's what we'll do. We'll let the Holy Spirit take care of all of that. Well, we've already prayed, so I'm just going to go ahead and just let that go. We've already prayed, and we know the Spirit's here. So let me go back in time just very quickly and first tell you, since 2016, when we were here last, this church, you guys, maybe you were here or maybe you weren't, but you started to support our ministry through prayer, through financial giving, and we're praying, believing it. Maybe one day, should the Lord lay it on your heart, you send a mission team to Colombia, South America, where we are ministering primarily to the Colombian police and their families. This is an exciting ministry that's been growing over the years, which I will share with you in just a moment. But I want to ask you this. How many of you here some of you might read our newsletter. We give it out to the church. They get it quarterly. Some people ask for it they'll take our prayer card and they'll ask us, would you send me your quarterly newsletter? It's free. It comes by email, snail mail, however you want it. We can send it. And so it's basically just to update you with how to pray for us, what's going on, what you've invested in. Because you folks have invested in something, haven't you? When you come to church, when you give to missions, you are investing in something. How many here would like to know that when you're investing in this ministry, that you're going to receive a good reward? Yeah, amen. When you invest in something, it's good to know, hey, what we're doing, who we're praying for, and it's not just us, but others, but when we invest in missions, we invest in God's kingdom, when we pray for them, there is an eternal reward. There's a reward even in the here and now. You might say, well, how? Well, when you read the scriptures, you'll find out that God gives back to us, and not just financially. Not just financially. It's important to remember, it's not just about finances. God gives us what? Our health. He answers our prayers. He gives us work. He takes care of our children. He gets them into universities and different schools where we thought we couldn't send them. But the thing is, when we give to missions, when we give to God's kingdom, there are rewards that God gives us in great measure. Amen? Our newsletter that we have, that I'm talking about, if you want it, ask for it. Otherwise, you can read it here at the church or go online. The thing is, we end our letter with our name. It says Paul and Christy. But we also have preceding it, it's kind of our closing, and it says this: why we do what we do. And then it's followed by our response. And it comes from the scriptures in 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 or verse 19. It says this: because he first loved us. Do you know that scripture? Because he first loved us. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. Yes, you can say that. Amen. Why we do what we do. Think about this just for a moment. This is talking about our ministry, why we are sharing the gospel with the National Police and their families. We end it with, because he first loved us. The church, why do you do what you do? Corporately, together, as a body, I can see you're already busy. You're already working on many things here in the, through the church. But also individually, why do we share Jesus with people? What? Reach one, right? Why do we love people? Well, because he first loved us. Let me read from 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 through 12 and verse 19. This speaks about love. The Bible has many places where it speaks about love. But I want you to go to this text here is what we'll use. It says this: dear friends, let us continue to love one another, for love comes from God. Anyone who loves is a child of God and knows God. But anyone who does not love does not know God, for God is love. God showed us how much he loved us by sending his one and only Son into the world so that we might have eternal life through him. This is real love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as a sacrifice to take away our sins. Dear friends, since God loved us that much, we surely ought to love each other. No one has ever seen God, but if we love each other, God lives in us, and his love is brought to full expression in us. In verse 19, this is our go-to text. We love each other because he first loved us. This phrase, this scripture, this scripture, it's a reminder to Christy and me many, many times over the 18 years that we've been in Colombia as missionaries. It's a reminder of God's infinite love for us. And it also compels us. It compels us to respond to his love. The love that when he sent his son Jesus to die on a cross for our sins, that we might be free of all of our sins, set free, and have eternal life. It's a reminder that we are to take the same gospel, the same good news to a nation, to a people, a group of people, the police, that are seen as being corrupt and are basically forgotten about. It compels us to share his love with these people. How many here have a go-to scripture? Raise your hand. If you have a scripture that you go to all the time, it's just something that you lean on. Yes, we've got some here. Yeah, you have a go. It's good to find or have a go-to scripture because, let me tell you, sometimes life gets a little tough, doesn't it? I mean, sometimes we're like at the highest cloud. We are just walking on air, if you will, right? And there are other times where we are as low can be. We feel so down. Or sometimes we're just everything's even keel, steady as she goes. But the point is, it's good to have a go-to scripture, or more than one. And when you place them in your mind, when you place them in your heart, It's God's word that's alive, amen? And it will fuel you. It'll compel you, bless you, help you, wherever or whatever you're going through. Right now, I'm going to show you a video. Give me just 30 seconds. I want to explain something. Our ministry mainly is focused on the police and their families in Colombia. There are over 170,000 police officers, national police in Colombia. That's a lot of people, amen? A lot of people. And our ministry focus is them. We call the type of training and what we do with them, we call it tactical evangelism. Why tactical evangelism? Well, they're the police. They receive specialized training through teams that we bring to Colombia to provide the training that they need. So that's tactical. But there's also another tactical side where through this training, we share the love of Jesus. That's the fun part for us. We share the love of Jesus. It's very relational, and they receive it. So that is what you'll be watching during this video, is just a little glimpse of how a portion of our ministry works. So, brother, whenever you're ready, we can go. So that's just, yeah, hallelujah. That's just a quick little glimpse of how this ministry works. I know many people have, over the years, we've had people even wonder or question our ministry, like, how does it work? And is this even going to work? That type of thing. But I got to tell you something, you're going to hear just shortly, how well this ministry is reaching the police for Christ. It's exciting. Ministry is relational. Remember this. Ministry is relational. Many years ago, I was going through Bible seminary. One of our professors, he told us, we were created to be related. Think about that just for a moment. Very simple. We, people, were created to be related. And first, related to who? God. We're created to be related to God. And then, of course, from there, it flows on to people, to each other, family, But God created us to be relational. We are relational beings. He has a relationship with us. We have a relationship with him. And we should have a relationship with others. Wherever we go, we should be relational. And I tell people many times, we should be like a person or a vessel filled to the brim of God's love, full of his spirit. Love, right? It speaks about love. God's love should be expressed through us. So wherever we go, we should take off that frown. I know sometimes we just want to frown. I know. If I don't have my coffee, I don't look too happy, but that's a sad excuse. But the point is, we should be happy in Jesus. Amen? We should be sharing the love of Jesus. Yeah, down days. Forget the down days. Always remember, we got a Savior, someone who loves us. We got eternal life, and we got a message to share. We are compelled to share God's love. Amen? Hallelujah. We are going through a season. How many here like seasons? It's a transition time, right? We're going through a season right now. I don't know what's going on. I'm not a weatherman, but I'll tell you what. One day it's cold, the next day it's warm. I'm thinking in Colombia where we live, it's pretty constant. We're usually like 82 max, and about at night, what, 62, something like that? It's that way all year long, and there's usually a breeze. And people say, oh, man, I like that weather. But we were actually, when we were getting ready to come back, we thought, oh, how nice it's going to be. We get to put on a jacket. You know, we haven't put on a jacket in years. We get to wear a jacket. And then we forget. We get here, and Christy grew up in Des Moines. I grew up in Chicago, and so we know cold. But we get back, and we go, oh, boy, it's cold. It's cold. I forgot how cold can be. You open your door. If you can get your car door open, it creak, you know, cracks. You're like, it's cold. Well, we are going through a season, and I'm talking about a spiritual season. You know, the church goes through seasons. And I believe that the world, the spiritual world, there is a new season. In my prayer time, I hear the Lord telling me, the wind is blowing again. You might say, where? Because things look terrible. But it's in these times, it's when we can see, when things seem dark, we can see the light. Amen? We can see what the scriptures are telling us. And the Spirit of the Lord is moving again. So very quickly, I say, be a part of it. Be a part of it. Jump in. Be a part of what the Spirit is doing. In Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1, it says this. There's time for everything, and everything on earth has its special season. Yes. So we are going through a special season in our ministry called Heroes of Justice, which represents the national police and their families. It's gone through seasons. Good, strong seasons, and seasons where it's like, they're shutting us down. And then next thing you know, it's growing again. It's flowing. So right now, we are in a new season, a building season. So let me take you back and share what's going on. You have been a part of this, and you need to know. You need to hear what's been happening because it's a hallelujah. Amen? It's a hallelujah because you folks, again, are recipients of what's taking place. In 2019, after 12 years of living in the capital city of Bogota, 45 million people. That's where we lived. What's wrong? Oh, forget it. Forgive me. 8.5 million. Where's the 45 from? The whole country. Sorry. 45 million in the whole country. Isn't it good to have a wife that corrects you? Amen. Amen. Thank you, hon. Thank you so much. In the whole country, 45 million, but 8.5 million in Bogota. True. Okay. Big city, a lot of people. We were grounded. Our ministry was growing with the police. Things were just really moving along, going through some seasons, some tough times, but it was growing. Well, listen to what happened. After 12 years, we moved to a city called Bucaramanga. Say that a few times real fast, Bucaramanga. Yeah, oh, good, Pastor, very good. Bucaramanga. Give it to a kid, and a kid will, like, they won't forget it. They got it, you know, Bucaramanga. So we moved there. Believe me, we did not want to move. But here's what happened. One of our pastor friends, a Colombian man, he called us, and he said, Paul Christie, I would like you to visit me in my city where I used to live. I was a pastor there. And the city's called Bucaramanga. We thought, okay, you know, when a pastor invites you somewhere to some place and you're a missionary, it's probably a good thing to, like, do it. So we went there. And we got on a plane, flew about 20 minutes. It wasn't a long flight. Flew there, and we met him, and he took us around for a couple of days, introduced us to the city, showed us some of the neat sights and things, introduced us to some of his friends, saw the Bible seminary there, which is a little building that they rented, held about 18 people. I remember thinking, this is a Bible seminary? There's only three classrooms, and they're so small. Six students in a classroom. I thought, this is small. But that was their Bible seminary in that area. Well, we returned back home. A couple months later, you know, we're doing our ministry and everything, and the same pastor calls us up, and he said, Paul Christie, I want you to come back here again. He doesn't even live there anymore. He's living on an island that Colombia owns, and he wants us to meet him there again. And we thought, now something's up. This is really weird. Why does he want us to go back again? Well, got on a plane, flew back, met him. He introduced us to some other pastors that he knew, and we just kind of were there. It was really odd. The night before we leave, we're only there like 3 days. The night before we leave, I look at Christy and I say to her, honey, what's God saying to you? She looks at me and she says, oh, we're moving here. And I thought, I knew it. I knew it. Because that's what God was telling me, but I didn't want to say anything to her. I didn't want to put anything in her ear, in her mind, right? So, because I'm thinking, this place is smaller. I'm thinking, we're already, you know, like, we've got a good, strong ministry growing in Bogota, but it's like, nobody wants to move. And I'm thinking, that's a lot of work. You know the whole thing. If you've moved before, it's a lot of work. So, but she confirmed it. The Spirit of the Lord, very important, was speaking to her. And when she said, oh, we're moving here, I already knew. I just needed a yay or a nay. You know what I mean? And she gave it to me. I thought, I knew it. So we were obedient. Folks, remember this. When the Lord speaks to you, how many here know that the Lord speaks to you? Do you know his voice? If you don't know his voice, tune into him. Stop and just wait upon him. And say, Lord, what do you say? Anything like that. Just open yourself to him because he will talk to you. Well, you have to be obedient when the Lord speaks to you. Amen? Obey him. Obey the Lord. You can't beat obedience. I remember when I was a kid growing up in church, and we used to sing the song, trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to what? Trust and obey. A child's song, yet it stayed with me all these years. And it's the truth. Trust and obey him. So we moved. It was a lot of work, but we moved to the city of Bucaramanga. We got there, and we it took us 5 weeks to find a place to live. We were living in a little apartment that we rented, and it was tough living there as well. But we finally found a place to rent for the next 4 years, or three at the time, I think it was. So we found a place, and here's what we learned about this new city. Bucaramanga is known for two things. It's parks and it's ants. Ants. Remember I told you about seasons? Well, here's one of the seasons we were going through. We moved there, and the first thing we noticed is, my word, there's a lot of ants here. Ants are like in a line coming out of the cupboards, coming out of the walls, because everything's concrete there. So they come out through the holes. And you're like, where in the world are these ants coming from? I don't know, Paul, they're right up there. And you see them going across the floor. Sometimes they're carrying things. They're strong. They're going across, and they disappear into the wall again. You're like, what in the world? But they're seasonal. 2 months later, gone. One day, it's like turning on the light. They're there, and they're gone. On and off. There and gone. But these things are seasonal. We also learned that they cultivate ants. In Bucaramanga, they are known for cultivating their ants. For what? To eat. They eat them. Yeah, they eat these things. And the coolest thing is these things are big. They're big and they're plump. You know how they get plump? Because they fry them. So they collect these ants. They harvest them. They cultivate them. You can buy them on the street in bags. You can buy them. They're in like baskets and stuff. You can scoop them out. How many ounces would you like, sir? Oh, give me 3 ounces of ants. Something like that, right? So you buy them, and kids, we got some young people here. I'm going to be talking about you guys in just a moment. So people buy these things. It's the thing, you know. When they're in season, they buy them and they eat them. Picture this. One day, my wife and I were standing outside of a church, and there were some young people. Now, here we go about young people. So these young people are standing, guys. They're by the church, and they're standing there eating something in a bag. And I thought, what are they eating? So I asked them what they're eating, and they told me, we're eating ants. I thought, oh, yeah, right. You're messing with the old guy. That's what I'm thinking. Because young people, remember, you know how you like to mess with older people, you know, mentally? You play games with your parents at times. We older people, we remember those days too. They're just a long time ago. But young people love to have fun with old people and play games with them because it's just fun. Well, here's what happened. So they're telling me they're eating ants, and I'm thinking, yeah, right. No, they are. And I'm thinking, I smell Fritos. Well, I said, okay, if you're eating ants, let me have some. And they said, sure. So they poured some ants into my hand. And I thought, oh, they're right. They are eating ants. So I have to do the missionary thing because they're watching me now. I can't throw them back. I can't say, oh, hey, have your ants back. But I said, okay. So I ate them. So I'm eating these ants, and I'm thinking, wow, tastes like Fritos. Smelled like Fritos, tasted like Fritos. So I'm thinking, man, this is pretty good. So I'm thinking, oh, I would like some more. And they gave me some more. That was the mistake. So here's these young men looking at me, watching me. And I take the ants and I eat them. And before you know, I realize I need something to get the ants down my throat. I cannot breathe. There's ants in my throat. Now, I wasn't dying, choking, but it was like I could feel them. And I'm thinking, I need something to drink. Nothing there. And there's those young gentlemen looking at me. I know they're just smiling like, we got the old guy, right? So anyway, I'm there. And all of a sudden, I realize there's another problem. I have ant legs in my teeth, and I can feel them. And now they're not moving around. They're just there. So now I'm thinking, don't smile. Don't talk to anybody, but I have ant legs in my teeth. Not a pretty sight, but very, very missionary, right? So those young people, you guys are a lot of fun. You have a barrel of laughs with older people. It's cool. But anyway, that's what happened for me at that time. So we were learning about this, you know, these ants. Well, anyway, Christy and I have to go meet with the elders, or not the elders, but the presbyters there. These are the leaders of the Assemblies of God in this area. It's a big area. So we met with them. We were all excited. We were all dressed up. We're ready to tell them about our ministry because that's what they wanted to know. What are you doing and how are you doing it? So while there, we're sharing. And as we shared with them, we could tell something's going on here. They looked at each other. They looked at us, asked us questions like, why would someone have a ministry to the police? We've never heard this kind of ministry before. It's really different. Don't you know that the police are corrupt? No one trusts them. These are the things we were hearing back from them. And then they're saying, so how are you going to do this ministry? So the whole time it felt like they were being negative. Now, I know it was just new to them. It was new to them because no one, and you must understand, in the church, and this doesn't sound good, but even in the church, if you are a Colombian police officer, it's almost as if you are not welcome. It might be like you would be the tax collector of the day in the New Testament. You were disliked. There was a disdain toward you. Why? Because there seems to be a precedence that has grown through the country over the many years of corruption. So the police are just seen as being corrupt. So why would you share Jesus with them? We say, why wouldn't you? Why wouldn't you share the love of Jesus with these men and women, the authorities that we are to be praying for? Amen? Why wouldn't you send someone? And that's, I believe, why the Lord sent us. God knew. He knew where he wanted us. And he placed us right there in the middle of this corruption, working with the police. So we returned home. Remember that scripture, because he first loved us? That's that go-to scripture for us. We returned home. We were disheartened. I remember us sitting down, and we're there in our home, and we're like, they don't believe in our ministry. What are we going to do? How are we going to gain any traction? They don't believe in it. And then we remember that scripture, because he first loved us. Folks, if there's anything you remember today, you can forget all about this ministry, what God is having us do. But remember this, because he first loved us, we should be compelled to share the love of Jesus with our friends. I'm sure all of you have a family member who doesn't know Jesus. All of you have a friend, a neighbor, a coworker, people that we walk into their worlds and out of their worlds. We have no idea what's going on in their lives. But when the Spirit of the Lord says, and when he's flowing out of you, he says, just say something for me. Even if it's God bless you, Jesus loves you, or I'm praying for you. It could be anything like that. You might say, well, if I tell a family member, they're going to disown me, be mad at me, or a friend, they're going to say, enough of you. What's more important, their salvation or them being upset with you? So many people don't know the love of Jesus. All they need to hear is that Jesus loves them. That's really the bottom line. All they need to know is that Jesus loves them. Our ministry is growing. We're going through a season, folks, that is absolutely incredible. Our law enforcement ministry that we have is growing, and I'll share more about that in a moment. But you already saw in the video, we bring teams that love Jesus, small teams. They're trainers, and they come and they provide all the training free. They provide the training for our police officers. We organize it, set it up. We've been given carte blanche to provide this training on government property. Sometimes we're in our home, but in the past we've been in on government property providing this training. Picture this, all these men and women coming together, and during every day we open in prayer, we close in prayer, midday we pray, and we share the love of Jesus from the Word of God. And at the end of 1 week, because it's usually 1 week of training, so there's at least 40 to 50 hours, 60 hours with them. And at the end of that time, we give them an opportunity to receive Jesus in their lives. And we're seeing over 90% of them receive Jesus in their lives. Think about this. 90% are being set free. Yeah, hallelujah. We can shout. You need to shout because you're a part of this. You are a part of this ministry. God just placed us there. We're an extension of you, the church. So we can all shout hallelujah. We give out Bibles. We give out a lot of hugs. Remember I told you ministry is relational? We do a lot of hugging. You know something? When you come into this body of Christ, imagine if you all came here and just sat down. Hello. Oh, Lord bless you. Hello. I'm fine. Family's good. Thank you, Jesus. Pastor, great sermon. That's it. No hugs. No talking. Nothing relational. Hey, how's your family? You know, we've been praying for you. How's it going? Hey, I'll see you at that school meeting next week. This type of thing. This is being relational. But imagine, I mean, that would be terrible if we just came here and didn't talk. We're created to be related. Our ministry is relational. We hug. Latinos, Latin people, they hug. There's not so much of this stuff where you bump, you know? I mean, I know COVID, right? Shaking of hands. But when you give somebody just that hug in Jesus, right? There's something absolutely beautiful about that. There are many people I've learned over the years. There are many people that go day in and day out without a hug. Yeah. They know a handshake, but they may not know a hug. When our teams come, they get to know each other. They know about their families. They cry together, pray together, and before you know it, they're getting hugs and people get saved. This is ministry. This is the work of the church, brothers and sisters. God created us to be this way. That's just how it is. Our ministry is growing. We're involved in chaplaincy ministry. Listen to this. Chaplaincy ministry. Do y'all know what a chaplain is? Okay, good. I tell people, a chaplain is basically a man or a woman of God, called by God, right? Sent out. His work, his ministry is outside the church. And they minister in all types of environments, from businesses, corporations, to hospitals, military, police. They're there. Airports, chaplains, you will find them there. What do? The relational men and women that are there to help others if they can, to pray for them, to love them, and even share the love of Christ with them. Amen? We, at one time, when we first got to Columbia, we heard about chaplaincy. We heard about chaplains, and the only chaplains that were there were the Catholic priest. They were the only ones who could be chaplains, according to the Constitution of Columbia. But about 3 years back, the Constitution, because there was so much demand for it, changed. They changed the Constitution and opened it up to evangelicals. That includes, amen, that includes the Assemblies of God. And when we saw this, now I've met many chaplains over the years, but at first we thought, let's stay focused. But people started coming to us saying, can your ministry provide chaplaincy training? We knew it could. So we believed that was time to follow that, and we started bringing trainers from the states, chaplains who could train and certify these pastors that are actually interested in being chaplains. So we started the training, and it's been growing. It's absolutely incredible. One of our pastors, who is an Assembly of God pastor, he lives on an island of San Andres. He, an interesting story. He received some training from us. He's the chaplain on the island, and we have been working with the police force there on the island. We've been there a number of times for training, seen men and women receive Christ. But what happened is two officers responded to a noise disturbance on the island. And by the time it was all over, the two officers, a man and woman who responded there, were killed in the line of duty. A noise disturbance. Just a noise disturbance. But they were killed, never to go home to their families again. The commander, the police commander, was absolutely, she just didn't know what to do. She contacted the chaplain, the Assembly of God chaplain, and she said, would you come here and minister to the families? I don't know what to do. And would you minister to the bereaved, the officers, because they're grieving and they just can't believe this took place. Because of chaplaincy, his training, he was able to go and help the family, the grieving family, and also speak to the officers. And to this day, the ministry, this chaplaincy ministry on the island, it's growing so much, he's now being requested by the Air Force and the Navy there on the island to come and provide once a week devotionals from the Bible on government property, all because of chaplaincy. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! And it's happening even in Bucaramanga, where we live. We started establishing chaplains. So now, while we are here, we have two teams that are up and running, ministering to the police weekly. And I heard that they now are being invited to go to work with the transit police and share a devotional with them. Folks, it's about being relational. They go and they simply open the Bible. The Bible. The Bible is God's word that's alive and it speaks. They share for, it could be 10 minutes, 5 minutes, but they're sharing the love of Christ, and people respond to that. Imagine when you pray over people that are getting ready to go out on the street and serve their country. And even though there's grave corruption, they're not all corrupt. But in spite of that, when you go and you pray over them before they go out, and they know there's somebody that cares about me, and there's this Jesus that loves me so much. When you hear that enough times, sometimes it's only one time, but other times it could be several or a number of times. But one day these people turn their hearts, their lives to Jesus and receive him. Amen? Hallelujah. So it's growing. The last thing we're doing is church planting. We've always been a part of church planting, and very short. Remember I told you about the parks? This city has got parks everywhere you look. It's like another park. Why? The Latinos are very, very relational. So on weekends, they gather in the parks, mom and dad. Whether they go to mass or not, or church, wherever they go, they wind up in the park, they eat in the park, they're together in the park. It's family time. So what our pastor of this new church start that we're working with, a lady pastor, she takes her team, and they go up into the parks. They find the kids. They have puppets. They provide a puppet ministry. Also, they provide music. When kids see puppets, when they hear music, they gravitate towards that. Next thing you know, all these kids are hovered around, and they're hearing about Jesus. It's a good time for them. They're still with their family. Mom and dad are there as well. Next thing you know, they get fed. It's good to feed people, isn't it? When people are hungry, and you should see it. And we have poor all around the world. But I'll tell you what breaks a lot of people's hearts are when you see kids that they look hungry. And when you give them something to eat and they're excited about it, they don't push it away and say, ooh, corn? No, they eat it. So they're hungry. And they're also hungry to hear about someone who loves them named Jesus. Our church, if you went there on a Saturday night, it's called Kids Club. This church, it's small, but it's packed full of kids. Full of kids. Where do they come from? The parks. Now, what's happening to the church? The church has been growing steady as she goes, but the kids bring mom and dad to church. Sundays are starting to grow with having more people, but it's because they are ministering in the parks. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Last thing, I forgot to mention very quickly, BGMC. Speed to Light, Light for the Lost. If you are participating in BGMC, young people, Speed to Light, we, of course, have a Speed to Light vehicle, and that thing's been running all these years. Been hit a few times, but we're okay. But the deal is this. We thank you for participating in Speed to Light. BGMC, do you know most of our resources that we have used for these kids, and every time we're working with a new church, tables, chairs, resources, crayons, pencils, paper, all kinds of things, sound equipment, all of this comes from BGMC and Speed the Light. We can say hallelujah because every time we go to the well, we call our account, we know it's the Lord, but we call it the well. Every time we go to it, the well is never dry. It's never dry. We've always had something to give. Now, how many here like the best for last? I'm getting ready to close. Yeah, you ready for that? You ready? Hey, give us the best for last because it's time. Okay. I'm sorry, we went over a little bit. I get excited. But you got to hear. I'm only here once every 4 years or something, so you got to hear it. And we're family, so thank you so much. Here's the deal. This ministry has been growing. I mean, it really has been growing over the years. And when we got to Bucaramanga, one of the things we learned is that they have been praying. This section, it's huge. This section has been praying to have their own Bible seminary for over 25 years. We have been praying. The Lord laid it on our hearts to start a ministry center 7 years ago. So we've been praying for a ministry center for the police for 7 years. So when we heard of their prayers, we realized, we saw their seminary as a house that they rent. It holds about 18 people. I mean, literally, folks, if you saw it, you'd have thought, this can't be a seminary. But that was their seminary. Anyway, the Lord spoke to Chris and me. We were praying, and the Lord said, talk to them and combine your ministry center with them. At first, I remember when the Lord spoke to me, I'm like, oh, no, Lord, are you kidding me? I'm thinking, we're going to have a ministry center, but to combine it with somebody else. You ever have that moment where you just kind of felt a little selfish? I had a selfish moment. And then the Lord began to give me this picture. He began to show me when you combine it with their seminary, you are going to bring men and women, students, pastors that are coming there for extra training. You're going to bring them a people that do not want to have anything to do with the police. You're going to put them in the same property, the same building where our ministry center will be, where we're going to have a common area cafeteria. It's going to be a ministry center where we provide for them life skills training for the kids, discipleship training for all of them. And it'll be a ministry center where they can come throughout the day. We'll have programs set up where they can receive training that they need, but on our own property. It's like having your own church. When you come to church, don't you feel safe? Don't you feel like, this is our church? We're a body of family, and this is our church. We've got some skin in this church. The same thing for them. The police will know you're safe here. You're loved here. This is a place where you can come and be loved and hear about Jesus. Also, the pastors, it's a place where they can be trained to be pastors, teachers, evangelists. They can be trained to be chaplains and even missionaries. But all of them coming together, having to rub elbows together, remember, relational ministry. They'll be able to come together, and I'm believing, we're believing, that this is God's design. These men and women are going to see that those police officers and their children are lovable. They need to be loved. They need to be shown love. They're not to be looked at as, oh, you're a leper, but they're to be loved. This is God's design. So when we presented it to the district, they jumped on it. They told us, oh, how we've been praying. They're so excited. Right now, they're trying to raise funds for the building project as well. Listen to what's happened. Since this time, we have been able together to buy property. We have a piece of property that's about 66 foot wide, but 150 feet deep. We already have the architectural plans. All of this I just mentioned, it's all paid for. It's done. Our well, God has blessed our well. We use our monies. We use the monies that are given to us wisely, but the Lord has blessed it. So these things are already covered. But now we are in this project where we are building. Just very quickly, if you would, before you leave today, out in the foyer, if you would take one of these flyers, on the back side it shows in blue, that is our property. That's the front gate. It doesn't look like much now because there's nothing but grass behind it. But that's what we own. Again, it has my wife in front of us, but if you would just take this and be praying, this is a challenge to you, or just read it if you would, and ask the Lord, what would I do? What do you want me to do, Lord? That's all we ask of you, to just read it and pray over it. And then you can keep it and just pray for the property. Pray that God would bless us as we move on, and bless the giving to this. So we need another $650,000 to cover the whole structure. The building's out there, so we have to build. You say $650,000, that's a lot of money. I'll tell you something. Not for the Lord it isn't. And when he works through his people as they give, funds come in. And the Lord is good at multiplying, isn't he? We have watched miracle after miracle as missionaries over the many, many years, and God never stops. You know the old saying, we sing this song, or we say, God hasn't failed me yet. You know how we say that? I always say, let's just drop the yet. God never fails. He hasn't failed me. He will not fail. It's not in his DNA. It's not in his character. He's God. He does not fail. So as I close, as we envision this, we just ask this. We need partners in this. But there is no pressure. It's just whatever the Lord would say to you. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 4, it says this. I urge then, first of all, that petitions, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for all people, for kings and all those in authority, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. This is good and pleases God, our Savior, who wants all people to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. He says he wants all people to be saved. That includes the National Police of Colombia and their families. All people to be saved. So, because of God's love, I believe that we as a body of Christ, we should be compelled. Listen to that word, compelled. Not asked to love people, but compelled to love one another, because it's an expression of his love in us. So would you please stand? We're going to pray. I believe that we are in, again, as I told you, a season. In Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 3b, it says this, there's a time to destroy and a time to build. We are in that time to build. So we're just going to pray, and I'm going to just ask that you would partner with us as we pray. Just ask the Lord, Lord, what can we do? How can we pray? I'm not asking you for money. Just, Lord, what say you? What would you have us do? Not necessarily today, but in the future. So let's just give this to the Lord. Let me just pray over you, this church, at this time. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for the season that we are in now over all these years. Lord, people have been praying for over 25 years for their own seminary. You gave us a vision 7 years ago for our own ministry center. And we, Lord, we know that you give us visions and you also give us the provision to fulfill that. Father, we pray over this church who has partnered with us a number of years ago in this ministry, in the expansion of your kingdom. Lord, I pray that you would so continue to use this church, not just in this ministry, but in its ministry here in this city. Lord, that they would pray and find themselves loving others, because your love is so profound in them that it's overflowing and it's touching lives that are all around them. I pray that you'd give them a spirit of boldness, a spirit of power and authority, Lord. Compulsion, Lord, because in the days in which we are living, we know your return is so soon. And I pray, Father, that as we pray this way, as we live this way, as we give this way, you would provide an abundance of blessings upon this church in ways that they never have fathomed, but that they would say, only because of you, Lord, only because of you we have these things. So, Lord, we give this to you, this partnership in Bucaramanga. We again pray that in the days, weeks, and months, the time ahead, we will all be rejoicing because of what is taking place, what you are doing. So we thank you, Lord Jesus. We thank you for your amazing love for us. We thank you for this project, all for the glory, all for your glory and the expansion of your kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.